إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the questions of the Qabr and our answers to them. And I remind myself once again that the answers depend not on memorizing the right answer but on living by that particular creed. And the first question we talked about is Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And we said that to be able to answer that question correctly, the three things that we must do: one is to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally without question, and the third thing is to do the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The examples of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hukum to obey him in all ways, which is the ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this has been established, as I explained to you last Jummah, through many ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without question. The difference between ordering obedience and ita'at, which is emulation, is the fact that in obedience an order is required. You cannot obey unless there is an order. So, for example, if you wanted to pray Salatul Dhuhr at 10 a.m., it could not be done because there is no order for Fard Salah at that time. However, after 2 hours or so, if you did not obey the same order, which is the order for praying Salatul Dhuhr, then you would be committing a sin by not praying Salatul Dhuhr, because the order would be in force at that time. So also, if a person wants to obey the order to pay Zakat, but does not have the means to do that, then he is not being disobedient. However, the day he has the means and does not pay, he will be considered a sinner, as the order now comes into force on him. I hope these examples clearly establish the principle of ita'at or obedience. Now let us look at the other word, ittiba, or to copy or emulate or to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to those who claim to love Allah, if you really love Allah, then follow and emulate me, follow my sunnah. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. For anyone who claims to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wants Allah to love him, the way is clear and simple. Follow the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow his sunnah, emulate him in everything that he used to do. Obey all his orders and then emulate all his ways, so that the angels who rove the earth recognize him in you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it abundantly clear in this ayah that the proof of this love is to do the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow the religion that he brought. And if one does that, then Allah says that he, Jalla Jalaluhu, will love that individual and forgive his or her sins. Now, if you look at the word ittiba, it is clear that unlike the case of ita'at, in order for one to do ittiba or follow the way of someone, there is no necessity for the leader to give any instruction. Obedience requires an order to be obeyed. Emulation is an expression of intense love and needs no order. The one you emulate may not even know of your existence, but you emulate him because you want to be identified as one of his people. For example, fans of Michael Jackson follow his way. They do the ittiba of wearing a glove on one hand, and they do the breakdance. Similarly, fans of Michael Jordan walk with a spring in the step, and they wear a Chicago Bulls cap with a peak backwards in his ittiba. They both do this with pride and as a mark of their love, and are recognizable by this as being the followers of their ideal. One can see countless examples of similar ittiba in our society and recognize people and group them according to their ways. This is the whole issue of branding. This is the whole point of brand ambassadors. People buy products because so-and-so is using that product, and that so-and-so is somebody that they look up to or somebody that they love. And that's why brand ambassadors are paid a fortune. to advertise this or that brand. And despite the fact that they themselves may actually in real life, they may not even use that brand, but they become brand ambassadors for that particular brand. There's some very interesting research by the name of Urban Tribes, which shows the effect and power of such following and brotherhood. In all these cases, there is obviously no specific order from the person who is the originator of the practice to obey him or to follow his way. Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson, they don't say to each of their admirers, please wear a glove on one hand or whatever the case might be. The admirer wears the glove on one hand because he loves his ideal and wants to emulate his every action and associate himself with the ideal and be identified as his admirer, as his fan. And nothing delights the true admirer more than when somebody recognizes the original in him. The many fake Elvis Presleys are testimony to that. The principle of ittiba can therefore be said to be imitating the ideal in every one of his ways and actions, such that by looking at the imitator, the originator is remembered. So imitating or emulating the ideal. Now there is therefore no necessity for an order for ittiba to happen. It is a mark of the love of Allah for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he wishes the memory of his messenger to be forever alive, and so he ordered that we emulate his messenger in every one of his ways. And if we do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us his forgiveness, which is the most crucial need for the human being on the day of judgment. Forgiveness is the gift for imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be loved by Allah, we need to be like Rasulullah, because he was the beloved of Allah, and Allah loves only those who are like him. Given this understanding of the ayah of the Quran relating to the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of learning about and obeying every one of his sunan becomes perfectly clear. In the same breath, the whole argument of whether something was a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that must be obeyed, or was something merely a habit that by inference is not really important to obey, this argument gets demolished. May Allah protect us from such ignorance and from such ignorant arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Which means, by the star, when it goes down or vanishes, your companion Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has neither gone astray, nor has he erred, nor does he speak of his own desire. What he says is an inspiration. It's wahi that is inspired. It is our aqidah based on the Quran that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said or did was the result of divine order and guidance, and that everything he said or did is worthy of obedience and following. But to stay with the meaning of ittiba, as I have discussed above, it is a duty of every Muslim to do this, for every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ita'at of the order of Allah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he said that he would love the one who makes ita'at. It is therefore he is the one who will love the one who makes ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he would love the one who makes ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, it is therefore important to understand that to obey the sunnah is fard, and to deny or denigrate and discount the sunnah is kufr. It must obviously be clear to everyone that irrespective of what one chooses to do in life or whichever way one wants to live, he or she is obviously going to end up imitating or following someone or the other. Be it trendsetters in the West or East, be it traditions of family or society, be it norms of customs and practice, when this is inevitable, how much better for the Muslim to consciously adopt the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every detail and thereby become obedient to Allah, have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love him and be forgiven on the day of judgment. Which other trend, fad, identity, following, fashion or emulation guarantees this? In addition, the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are themselves so endearing and inspiring that one will naturally end up being liked and loved by all and become the recipient of Allah's mercy and grace in this world as well. Finally, the issue of the beard, which must be mentioned clearly here, is that it is both ita'at of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a huge blessing it is, especially as it requires no effort at all for its keeper to earn reward. The beard happens if you do nothing. The ruler of Yemen, appointed by the Persian Emperor Khusro Nashirwan, who is called Kisra, he sent two envoys, he sent two people to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to summon him. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the letters to the kings, he sent a letter to the Byzantine Emperor Heraclius, he sent a letter to the Mukaukas of Egypt, and he sent a letter to Kisra, Khusro Nashirwan, who was the king of Persia. None of them accepted Islam, but they treated the ambassadors with respect, and they treated the letter with respect. But Khusro Nashirwan tore up the letter, he threw it away, and he said, "Who is this Muhammad? Who does he think he is? How can he send me a letter? These people are nobody. They live in the Hijaz, which we don't even consider worth ruling. And he sends me a letter and he orders me to do this and that." So he sent an order to the ruler of Yemen, who was his vassal, his tributary king, and he ordered him to arrest Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to bring him to Khusro Nashirwan. Now see the arrogance of kings. The king of Yemen, he didn't send a battalion, he didn't send an army. He just sent two people, two soldiers he sent. Now they came to Makkah, they asked about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were told that he is in Medina, so they came to Medina. And they said to Rasulullah, they said, "We have come to arrest you and take you to our king." Now, Rasulullah smiled and he said to them that we know how to treat ambassadors and we have instructions, and our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us instructions about how to treat ambassadors. Otherwise, you know, your fate would have been different. And he said to them, he looked at their faces and he found that they had shaved their beards and they grew their mustaches like big handlebar mustaches. And he disliked this look. He hated to look at them. He disliked their look. And he said, "Woe be to you. Who told you to do this? Who told you to make your face like this?" And they said, "Our Rabb." And Rasulullah then passed his blessed hand over his face and beard, and he said, "But my Rabb has commanded me to leave alone my beard and to trim my mustache." And then he said, and he commanded those who were with him, "Trim the mustache and leave the beard." This hadith is classed as Hassan by Shaykh Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, next day, it so happened that night, Khusro Nashirwan's son killed him, and he rescinded that order to arrest Rasulullah. And Jibreel salam came and told Rasulullah this news. So next morning, Nabi salam said to these two people, he said, "You can go back. Your king is no more. Your king has been killed, and that order is not valid anymore." So they left. Now, shaving the beard, therefore, is a disobedience of Rasulullah, and it is a denial of both itaat and ittiba. Because if you notice, not only did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a beard, but he actually ordered the people around him, and he said, "Trim the mustache and leave the beard." Incidentally, he didn't say shave the mustache. He said, "Trim the mustache and leave the beard. Do not cut the beard." And in many ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded men to leave alone their beards. I will let you decide the seriousness of this, of doing something which is against the itaat and against the ittiba, against the order and against the emulation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these different hadith have a similar meaning, which is to trim the mustache and to leave the beards. And these hadith are in Bukhari and Muslim. All the ulama of the Salaf, including the four imams, agreed that shaving the beard is haram. It is prohibited. They considered shaving it as an impermissible mutilation, and considered the person who shaved his beard to be effeminate. Many of them would not accept his witness or allow him to lead the prayers. For one who believes that he or she is going to die one day, for one who has implicit faith in the Akhirah and in the resurrection and the Day of Judgment, it is comforting indeed to be shown the way to deliverance so clearly and in such an easy and acceptable way. My brothers and sisters, the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah has two aspects. La ilaha illallah is the inner aspect and Muhammadur Rasulullah is the outer aspect. La ilaha illallah is what we believe in our hearts and Muhammadur Rasulullah is how we show that belief to the world. The intention is that when someone sees a Muslim, he must see the manifestation of that kalima in his entire self, in his appearance, in his talk, in his actions. And that is what the first question of the grave is about. It's about our relationship with Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to answer that question and to be our helper and protector. Brothers and sisters, I wish this for you and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should love you, that your dua is answered, that the angels recognize you and know you by name and know your voice because they've heard it raised in praise of Allah. But remember this, this world is a world of cause and effect. Newton discovered the law which Allah made. And so if you want an effect, which is Allah's love, we have to work on the cause which will create that effect, which is the ittiba of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming here. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.